From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, August 24th, 2016, and we are so honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. On today's show, our plate runneth over, folks. We have a ton to get to, including the return of back-to-back Olympic gold medalist in the sport of women's boxing, Clarissa Shields. Shields returned to her hometown in Flint, Flint's favorite daughter. And folks, of course, Current Sports was in the house. We stole a bit of Clarissa's time as well as got to chat with her family, friends, and fans. We will have wall-to-wall coverage from the return of Clarissa Shields. You do not want to miss that. We will also have a bit of a chatter on the Detroit Tigers as they topped the Minnesota Twins last night. And we will invite Eric Doc Love. That's right, good friend of the show, high school sports color commentator for the team, 92.1 FM, as the high school football year gets underway tomorrow. Can you believe that? Tomorrow, folks. Oh, boy. So Doc will give us a preview of the Mid-Michigan high school football landscape. You don't want to miss that. Also on the back end of the show, a certain Michigan State football player is no longer a part of the team, and Nate Diaz could be staring at a suspension from the UFC. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. So much to get to, so little time, so let's stop wasting it. We'll start this party like we always do with your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Defensive tackle Cassius Pete was given his scholarship release to transfer from the Michigan State football team. Michigan State announced this via email. Now, Pete reportedly has enrolled at Eastern Arizona, a junior college near his hometown of Chandler, Arizona, according to Scout.com's Jason Jewell. Now, MSU coach Mark D'Antonio, if you remember last week, he mentioned that Pete had not been practicing with the Spartans during preseason camp, despite being listed in the two deep at defensive tackle behind fellow redshirt freshie Raekwon Williams. So again, Cassius Pete no longer a part of the Michigan State football team. We'll have more on that story later on in the hour. The Michigan State volleyball team has been selected 7th in the Big Ten's preseason volleyball poll as announced by the conference office on Tuesday morning. In addition, Chloe Rainick has been voted a preseason All-Big Ten selection in the survey of Big Ten coaches. Now, the Spartans were one of 9 teams from the Big Ten in the AVCA preseason national poll or receiving votes, sitting just outside the top 25 as the second team receiving votes. Now, MSU opens the year this weekend at the San Diego State Aztec Invitational, where it will take on Denver, Marist, and host SDSU. Two-time Olympic gold boxing champion Clarissa Shields returned home to Flint, Michigan yesterday afternoon. She held a press conference at Bishop International Airport, where she was greeted by many media members, including us here at Current Sports, as well as many friends, family, and fans, congratulating her on the outstanding work out in Rio de Janeiro. Now, she is the only American boxer, male or female, to win 2 Olympic gold medals. We will have coverage from the Shields homecoming in just a second here on the show. Don't touch that dial. It took a little while for Detroit's offense to get rolling, but the Tigers used back-to-back 3-run innings in the 6th and the 7th to down the Minnesota Twins in an 8-3 win on a drizzly Tuesday night at Target Field. Detroit is 3 games out of a wild card berth. The Tigers entered the 6th trailing 3-2, but broke out for three runs to help, with the help, I should say, of three wild pitches, including a run-scoring wild pitch from Twin starter Kyle Gibson. Now, reliever Michael Tonkin gave up a two-run single to Cameron Maben with two outs to give the Tigers a lead they wouldn't relinquish. Now, left-hander Matt Boyd, who is 4-2 on the year with a 3.93 ERA, has been on a roll. He has allowed three earned runs or fewer in his last eight appearances, including seven starts. He takes the mound against Tyler Duffy tonight at 8:10 p.m. U.S. swimmer Jimmy Fegan issued an apology late Tuesday for his behavior after having to leave Brazil last week amid scandal for an incident at the Rio de Janeiro gas station. Now, Fegan was one of four U.S. swimmers who were caught up in the drama after teammate Ryan Lochte claimed they had been held at gunpoint following a night of partying. Instead, the swimmer's story unraveled. A Brazilian and Brazilian police said the men, while intoxicated, vandalized a gas station bathroom and were questioned by armed guards before they paid for the damage and left. We've, of course, talked about that story pretty extensively in the last week or so here on the show. Quote, "First and foremost, I would like to apologize for the serious distractions from the Olympics, Rio de Janeiro, and Team USA." He also goes on to say, this is Fegan speaking, quote, "It was never my intent to draw attention away from the tradition of athletic competition and the symbolic cooperation of countries participating in the Olympic Games," end quote. Steelers outside linebacker James Harrison will meet with NFL investigators on Thursday at 11 a.m. over the Al Jazeera report that linked four active players to performance-enhancing drug use. Green Bay Packer linebackers Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers are set to meet with the league today. Free agent linebacker Mike Neal will meet with the NFL investigators on Thursday in Chicago. An NFLPA attorney will be present at Harrison's interview, as well as the others, to help limit the questions to the specifics of the Al Jazeera report. A source told that to ESPN's Dan Graziano. UFC president Dana White says that former bantamweight champ Ronda Rousey will not fight at UFC 205. UFC 205 is scheduled for November 12th at New York City's Madison Square Garden. New York will hold its first mixed martial arts event since, get this, a 20-year ban. Yes, 20-year ban was lifted, allowing legalized fights to take place in the state. Rousey, who is 29 years old, has not fought since losing her bantamweight crown in shocking fashion to Holly Holm at UFC 193 in November. It was Rousey's first loss in her career, and since then, the title has changed hands not once, but twice. And last but not least, sticking with news from the UFC, Nate Diaz was seen casually vaping on the DS CBD while speaking to the media following his loss to Conor McGregor at UFC 202. It may get him into some trouble with the USADA. Now, CBD is a cannabinoid oil. According to Leaf Science, it's one of over 60 compounds found in cannabis that belongs to a class of molecules called cannabinoids. I know I'm going over your head right now, but it's also still illegal and classified as a Schedule 1 drug in the United States. More importantly, they are banned in competition by the World Anti-Doping Agency, and USADA goes by WADA's list of banned substances. Get this, though. Diaz has never failed a drug test. So we'll see what comes of that story. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. It's time to start the show.
Bishop International Airport, your world traveler, the two-time back-to-back women's Olympic gold medal champion. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Direct from Rio de Janeiro and the 2016 Summer Olympic Games, none other than Miss Clarissa Shields.
Two-time, y'all say champ. Two-time. Two-time. When I say two-time, you say champ. Two-time. Two-time. Okay. I work hard, long days in the gym. I mean, a lot of days in the gym where my body was sore and everything. Oh, my record is 77 wins, one loss. 19 away to KO. I'm still shocked, for real. Like, I know I did it, I know I could do it, but it's just unbelievable. You know, I always have a game plan of thinking about what I'm gonna do next. It's like, yeah, what are you really gonna do next? Now, you don't have to make, the way you planned it is going exactly that way. So now it's like, okay, stick to the game plan and we'll see.
No, there was no other way to start the show other than that. Clarissa Shields, the only American boxer, male or female, to win two Olympic gold medals. Back to back, folks. Unbelievable moment. I mean, I'm still in amazement of what took place yesterday afternoon at Bishop International Airport out in Flint, Michigan. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, as I stated at the top of the hour, we've got a fantastic show in store for all of you out there. In just a moment, we will be chatting with Eric Doc Love, high school sports color commentator on the team, 92.1 FM, as he gets us ready and revved up for another year of high school gridiron action. Until then, though, we got to talk about Clarissa Shields, because this is a young woman who has gone through so much throughout her life, overcome so much adversity, born and raised in Flint, Michigan, which of course has been getting a ton of negative press due to the Flint water crisis. But this story is just a feel-good, triumphant one that is much needed in the time of crisis that this current region of our nation is going through. Clarissa Shields, born and bred in Flint, has worked her tail off to now become an international superstar in the world of sports. And possibly even more important than that, the pioneer for the sport of women's boxing. Back-to-back gold medals. It was amazing to see what she did 4 years ago out at the London Games and how dominant she was. And many people don't know this, but in 2012, that was the very first year that the sport of female boxing actually became an Olympic competition. That was the very first year. Clarissa Shields winning the gold medal there. The first one to do so at middleweight. And she follows it up with another just dominant, not even close string of fights that led to another gold medal. And myself, engineer Isaac Constance, current state producer Kevin Lavery, as well as Amanda Pickney from our marketing team, we all hit the road right after Current Sports Radio yesterday. We all hit the road, got our gear, our cameras, our recorders, our tripods, and hit the road to Flint, Michigan, only about a 40-minute drive, hopping to skip from Lansing to Flint. And as we pulled up at Bishop International Airport, one of the first images we saw was a stretch limo, an all-black limo with just a kid from Flint, congratulations, Clarissa Shields, on the side of the limo. So we knew that was the limo that was going to be driving around Shields when she touched down in Flint, Michigan. And we parked, we got all the gear out, and as soon as we entered the airport, we saw the press conference area where Shields was set to address the media, the fans, friends, and family. And as we entered, it was so remarkable as time went on, because the way they had it set up, at 4 p.m., you had a few dignitaries take the mic first. And I actually want to play a snippet from Flint Mayor Karen Weaver, who was actually on Current Sports last week to talk about the first fight that Shields had, the first of three, in which culminated on Sunday, of course, in that final where she was officially crowned the gold medal champion once again. So I want to play a snippet because, first off, you had Flint Mayor Weaver come up. You had a few other dignitaries there. And then, right after that, Clarissa Shields took the podium, and it was just, it was unbelievable. I mean, people came from the other side of the airport up to the press conference area to get a glimpse of her. Immediately, smartphones were working to try and get a snippet of her or a video of her walking with the gold medals up to the podium. You had a ton of cheers and chants. We'll get to what Shields had to say, other than what she had to say at the podium, which you just heard in that montage. But here is Flint Mayor Karen Weaver speaking just moments before Clarissa Shields took the podium.
This is such an exciting day for the city of Flint that we get to welcome home Clarissa Shields, our second-time gold medal winner. And you know what? When we started the first viewing party, we said, we know she's going to bring the gold home. You know, we had that much confidence and faith in her. So I just wanted to just say a few words about her, because one of the things we know is that she has really represented us and exemplified what it means to be a true Flintstone, just like we've needed that to happen. People have looked at us because of the challenges and the issues we've been facing, but we've been telling them that there are some good people coming out of Flint, and Clarissa is one, and she has represented us well, not just here in Flint, the state, the United States, but all across the world. She has shown people what it means to be Flintstone strong, and she has been such an example for young people. When we were over at Burston, all those young people that were there, and putting Burston, it's been on the map, but she, you know, put it back on the map. And one of the things I was telling one of the reporters was that she's been a role model and example for young people, but for old as well. She has, that's right, two times. Two times. Because she has shown us what faith and determination and belief in yourself can get you. If you stay focused and you have that kind of strength and faith, you can overcome whatever is put in front of you, like we're going to do here in Flint. And she has put us on the map for something positive. We've been telling people, stay tuned. There's going to be a part two to our story, and she has gotten part two started. So we are excited, we're happy, and we cannot wait to have Miss Clarissa Shields come on so we can show her some real Flint love. Thank you.
Yes, again, that was Flint Mayor Karen Weaver taking the podium and addressing the crowd moments before Clarissa Shields came out to talk about winning back-to-back gold medals, the very first American boxer to do so. Pretty remarkable stuff. And it's so cool to see how this community has really rallied behind Clarissa Shields, and it's a much-needed diversion, as I stated, to what has taken place in the recent months concerning the Flint water crisis. And Karen Weaver has mentioned time and time again, including last week on our airwaves, how Shields has been a pioneer of really encompassing what the city is all about, you know, overcoming adversity and showing the world just how talented you are. And doing something that's different. I mean, Clarissa Shields, this is female boxing we're talking about. I mean, this isn't a mainstream sport. Yet Clarissa Shields, with her success, and with her historic success, I should say, has really put this sport on the map. And she has become a pioneer, if not the pioneer, for the sport. Now, leading up to my the one-on-one that we're going to play for you with Clarissa Shields, I want to play a snippet from the family of Shields. I got a chance to chat with Clarissa's mother, as well as her auntie, Rose Copeland, right after talking with Clarissa and performing a one-on-one interview with her. Here is what Clarissa's mother and auntie had to say concerning her success.
I'm very proud of her. And, I know she's going to be able to do it again. And she deserved it. She worked very hard for it and everything else.
She mentioned how when she left, there was like a 3 or 4 month period where she didn't get a chance to see you guys because of training. How tough was that to not see her during that time?
It was tough. It was pretty tough on me. But I saw it on video cam or stuff like that.
Right, right. What did you guys talk about when you guys did talk when she was away?
Make sure I get here and don't miss out and stay out of trouble.
What makes Clarissa special?
She worked very hard and she as growing up, she had a very hard time and everything, so, and she overcame all that.
It's unbelievable, and it's so exciting, you know, at the same time. The little girl that I used to keep, my little niece that I used to keep, that used to come over my house and visit with me, and I take her to the store and take her to church, and now she's a big gold medalist. I'm like, oh my God, you know, unbelievable, you know, and in my family, it's so exciting to me and all my family. We are very happy and very excited for her.
As the family, did you guys see any of this coming? I mean, did you know Clarissa was going to be special, though?
I had no idea, really, because, like, she was going to the place, you know, Burson. Boxing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Burson. And I would see them out some eating. I said, where y'all coming from? And they wouldn't say nothing. Like, they get in the car, and I take them home. And I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't find this out until it had blew up, you know.
Right.
I never knew until it had blew up, really.
You see Clarissa now sponsored by Powerade, and that was one of the challenges in 2012. She didn't have those endorsements coming to her the way she does now. How will this moment change the Shields family?
Oh, God. It's going to be so exciting, so beautiful, and I'm just so happy for her.
And, you know, leading up to this moment for Clarissa Shields, if you remember, myself as well as the WKER team, we headed out to Burston Fieldhouse. That's the gym where Clarissa trained, where she honed her boxing skills, where she linked up with Jason Crutchfield, who was like a father to her. And that's where the dream started for Shields. And, you know, I interviewed her former trainer and Jason Crutchfield and really talked about when Clarissa first entered the gym, what did he see in her? And at first, Jason was totally against female boxing. He didn't think that females belonged between the ropes, fighting like men do in the sport. And it wasn't until Clarissa's primary trainer didn't show up one day and Jason had to take over and really wanted to just work with her to see what she had, that he saw that Clarissa was very talented. And Clarissa made him a believer in the sport of women's boxing. And it's so interesting because, you know, looking at those around Clarissa, you know, talking with her family, talking with her friends, and seeing all the attention that she's now getting. And now she has a sponsorship with Powerade. I don't know if you guys have seen the commercial, Just a Kid from Flint commercial that Clarissa has been featured in the last 16 days out in Rio de Janeiro. Very cool stuff. But that was the big hurdle for Clarissa in 2012, because after she won the gold medal, she didn't get the endorsements like a Michael Phelps or a Gabby Douglas received after the London 2012 games. And that was very frustrating for her. So this has a different feel to it because Powerade was everywhere. It was branded on the banner that stood right behind Clarissa as she embarked on the press conference. It was to the side of the podium as T-shirts with Powerade and Just a Kid from Flint were on the respective tables. She now has an endorsement, and her name is now bigger than ever. And I want to invite Isaac Constance right now to the show before we proceed here, because Isaac, you were in the house helping me with this shoot, and you did a fabulous job, by the way. And what really stood out to me, and I couldn't help but think about it, and we're going to hear it in the next snippet here, but that last question that I asked Clarissa's aunt, Rose Copeland, you know, how will this change the Shields family? And her answer was, it's really going to be remarkable. It's going to be fun to watch and see. Shields is going to have to deal with the dynamic now where she's going to have family members coming out the woodworks. She's going to have, you know, her fifth cousin on her mom's side saying, hey, Clarissa, what's up? And when you come from an area like Flint, Michigan, for many athletes and for many names of notoriety who reach this certain point of fame, they feel like they have to put their family on their backs. But there's also got to be a limit because there's a catch-22. When you start to do that too much, you can start to hinder your own future. So this moment for Clarissa Shields, more so in 2012, is really going to test her maturity as her name continues to grow in the world of American sports.
Well, and you saw Clarissa take a very calculated approach to that. She named every single person who she thought had a part in her success.
She did.
In making her who she is, the two-time Olympic gold medal boxer. So she knows where she's at, and I think she knows what she's doing. She also did have to separate herself from Flint, from where she grew up, in order to train in Colorado Springs at the Olympic facility for 3 months before she actually embarked on her Olympic journey. So it seems like she's taking all in stride. She also has talked about the future. She's very considerately thought about that in the past, and she obviously has a game plan mapped out.
She definitely does. I want to roll to a snippet now. This is probably my favorite. This was clearly my favorite interview out of those that we talked with, including Clarissa Shields, inside of the Bishop International Airport. And the reason why it was is because Brianna Shields, Clarissa's younger sister, is so unfiltered. Unfiltered, to say the least. And it's funny because I wanted to interview Clarissa's brother, and her brother was like, well, do I get paid for this interview? I'm sitting there saying, no, you don't, man. No, you don't get paid if you do an interview with me. That's not how it works now. So that was a pretty funny moment. But Brianna Shields, for those that have seen the T-Rex documentary, we again, going back to that story of the WKAR team and I going out to Flint, Michigan, we premiered the T-Rex documentary directed by, of course, Zach Canaperi and company, that really gives an inside look into the life of Clarissa Shields. And Brianna Shields steals the show.
Yeah.
She steals the show. She is so honest and at times a little bit too honest with her answers. You see what I mean right here. Here's Brianna Shields, Clarissa's youngest, young sister.
What's it like to see your sis up there donning not one, but two gold medals? I mean, what goes to your head when you see her up there?
I feel like I won a gold medal. I feel like I won two gold medals.
What's this mean to the family?
We own.
I asked your mom this as well because it's really remarkable. I mean, she's the first one to ever win back-to-back gold medals,
yeah.
Male or female.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's the
that's
best in the world. She's the best in the world.
What makes her the best in the world? What makes her special? What separates her?
She the only one. She the only one to ever do what she doing out. She the only one to ever make it this far. Really, to me, she the best, and can't nobody take that from her because she work hard every day. She do what she need to do every day. For the last 4 years, she trained every day to get this. Before this, it was 6 years she trained to get this, and now she got what she deserved.
She mentioned up there how there was a four-month period where she did not see you guys. She had to go
and
to
college. I cussed her out. Yeah, I cussed her out for not coming to see me.
But at the same time, she was training to compete in the Olympics.
I understood, but you know what I'm saying? I was mad. I was mad.
But it paid off, right?
It paid off, man.
How was it during that period, though? Because I know it had to be a hard time
it
on the family.
It was hard because I'm our baby sister. I've been needing advice. I've been needing to talk, get stuff off my chest. You all boxing. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta wait. I gotta put my problems to the side and support her first. I don't got no problem with it because I love it. I love seeing Rest fight. I love watching her win.
Well, last question here. I want to take it back to the foundational roots of how she ended up here. I mean, when she first got in the boxing gym in the basement of Burston Fieldhouse, what went through the family's head?
Some people said she was too cute to be boxing. Some people said she shouldn't box, period. Some people said, let her do it. Let her find herself. Let her fight. And, I mean, it was so many different things happening, but it was up. It's her heart. It's her heart and the way that she built. It's where she come from that made her who she is today. That made her, that ambition she got. You can't find that in nobody else. That drive she got to win, you're not going to find that in nobody else. You're not.
Of course, she's getting a lot of attention now. Do you guys feel as the family an obligation to make sure she's grounded?
What that mean?
To keep her humble.
In a way.
She keep me humble. She keep me calm.
Oh, how great is that, Isaac? That last part, you know, does the family feel an obligation to make sure she's grounded and humble? She keeps us humble, you know?
Yeah.
Again, Brianna Shields, the younger sister of Clarissa Shields. And again, as you see, Brianna is very honest, and you get a glimpse into just how really entertaining this family is. But at the same time, though, you know, listening to Brianna, listening to our thoughts about the success of her older sister, you see that Clarissa comes from a very hardworking background, a very hardworking background, and she's going to do whatever it takes to make sure that her immediate family, her sister, her brother Peanut, as well as her mom, her aunt, you know, her father, that they're going to be taken care of. I'm just curious to see, and this is another point I got to make, because the sport of women's boxing is not a mainstream sport. It just isn't. And now Clarissa is faced with a decision on whether to turn pro, get some moolah out of this thing, or train for 4 more years and try to win another gold medal back-to-back-to-back out in Tokyo now. And the drawback from that, though, if she was to wait to turn pro and go for another gold medal out in Tokyo and not turn pro and stay amateur, I think she misses out on a golden opportunity here. Back-to-back gold medals, Isaac. Again, the Olympics only happen every 4 years. She's got an endorsement with Powerade, but I just feel as though if she waits, 4 years is a long time to just rest on your laurels.
It is.
If she turns pro where in strikes where the iron is really hot right now, while the fire is really, really hot, I think she can continue to grow her name in this 4-year span instead of waiting, you know, 4 more years and going after another gold medal. She's proven that she's the best in the world. Let's see if she can do it at the pro level now.
Well, and the Olympics have very convoluted rules when it comes to allowing certain athletes to play, whether they're a pro or not. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in boxing, you can only compete if you're an amateur. With that being said, that is by far the greatest exposure she'll have the opportunity to garner as a women's boxer. So it's interesting because this is where she can really reel in the endorsement deals. But it's going pro that gives her that year-by-year salary in other prize fights and belts. So it's an interesting question. Like you said, she could possibly grow the game. But at the same time, she's taking a risk because, once again, she's putting the entire sport on her back.
If she waits, people will quickly forget about this. I just got to be honest with you. If she waits 2 years from now, people will quickly forget about Clarissa Shields being a back-to-back champ in the world of female boxing. Also, Universal Studios has picked up her life story, and they will be making a movie on Clarissa Shields' life. Clarissa wants Ice Cube to play Jason Crutchfield, and she wants Keke Palmer to play herself in the movie. Last snippet here. Here's a brief one-on-one, and I do mean brief, that I had with Clarissa Shields amongst all of the media frenzy that ensued after she took the podium.
First off, Clarissa, you addressed, you know, how good it feels putting on that medal up there. First off, can you just address making history? I mean, being the first ever back-to-back. I mean, what's that mean to you?
It means everything to me. You know, I knew I had worked hard enough to do it. But to actually do it, man, it meant everything. I spent a lot of days in the gym. I moved away from home. I did a whole lot of sacrifice, and then when I actually won, it kind of just blew me away. But I had knew that I knew I was going to win. I don't know why I was so shocked.
You know, that confidence really stands out whenever you're at the podium and talking with us media members. I mean, what separates you from the average boxer?
Hard work. Hard work and belief. You know, I know that if a girl can beat me, she can't beat me in God. I know that for a fact. And I just go in there and I just tuck my chin and I let my hands go. That's it.
When it comes to, you kind of address it up at the podium. I mean, what's next for you? You want to turn professionally. I know that's down the pike. You don't know if you want to do it now. I know. At the same time, do you feel an obligation to grow the sport of female boxing? What's it going to take to grow the sport?
Well, it's going to take great female boxers to grow the sport. I definitely do feel an obligation. You know, Heather Hardy fought on the same day that I won my Olympic gold medal. She fought on PBC, gave me a shout out. A very, very sweet girl from New York. And me and her have been talking about like how we should push the sport and how we're going to push the sport is, one, us being great fighters and fighting on TV, but then also bringing other women to fight also.
She knocked that answer out of the park, Isaac. That is exactly what has to happen in order for female boxing to become a legit thing here in America. It's going to take more than Clarissa. She's certainly grown the sport just on her name alone and her success alone, but it's going to take this sport to be on mainstream television so people can see it, as well as other names to come and help her out.
Well, it's going to take more than Clarissa, but it's also going to take a leader, and Clarissa is that leader. That's the big deal in all of this, because Clarissa was also asked when she was at the podium, any interest in MMA or UFC, which is the big earning sport for women's combat. And she said, I'm a boxer.
Yep.
That's all she said in response to that question.
She
something
hates
like,
that
I'm
question.
A boxer. Mm-hmm. And it's a great answer. This is her chance to grow the sport.
Yeah, I thought about asking that question. I didn't want to get a left jab to my jaw, though.
Good choice.
All right. Again, if you want to check out more of our coverage on the return of Clarissa Shields to Flint, Michigan, we will be producing a visual feature that you can check on WKAR.org later on this week. Keep it locked to my social media pages on how you can view that. All right, folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will get you ready for high school football with the one, the only, Eric Doglove, high school sports color commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. Don't you do it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And folks, we are now just a day away, one day away from the start of high school football. Mitten, Michigan is going to be rocking from this point forward up until, of course, Ford Field. And, you know, Isaac, I'm a bit sad, though, because this is actually my last live show because I have to go out the country to the Dominican Republic. I'm serving as a groomsman for my fraternity brother's wedding, and I am going to miss the opening week of high school football here in Michigan. So I'm sad. This is the first time this has ever happened, but I will be missing it, and I'm sure you'll be out at a few games this week. And I will be back, though, just in time for the start of the Michigan State football year on September 2nd as they open up the year against Furman. But there is nothing like high school football, dude. So, yeah.
No, I first noticed when I came up here, because being from New Orleans, how it is nobody cares about high school football. Seriously, our team used to draw out. Yeah,
right.
Our team used to draw out 10 people to our homecoming game. It was that pitiful.
Oh my gosh,
yeah. It was terrible, and we weren't any good. But at the same time, nobody cared. So when I came up here and heard I had to cover high school football, I was like, who cares about that? But the first game I went to was a Williamson game. The whole place was rocking. People were parking in grass fields half a mile away to go. And yeah. I thought, wow, this is really cool.
It's different.
My gosh.
And me and myself being from Detroit, I mean, the local coverage, sports coverage in Detroit, they don't cover high school football like they do here in Michigan. So I felt the same way when I came up here as a reporter. And covering high school football is my favorite thing as a reporter to do.
So much passion.
Yeah, and we have a man who knows high school football like no other. He is certainly a dear friend on our airwaves. His name is Eric Doglove. You know him very well. We all love him. High school sports color commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Eric is here to give us a preview of the local mid-Michigan high school gridiron scene. Doc, how you doing?
I am good, Al. Thanks for having me in studio for the first time. I'm usually on the phone. It's nice to be in this beautiful Current State and Current Sports studio.
You like this?
I love
air conditioned, you know.
Beautiful.
You
got it's nice.
Right. We got WKAR here, we got Current Sports above my head. You know, we got the LED lighting. This is a crime. This is the first time we've ever had you in studio. This needs to happen more often.
It's not that you didn't invite me. It's just that I'm busy.
Exactly.
I'm everywhere, Al. I'm everywhere.
You, he is a man who is, he's probably the most busiest man I've ever known. I tell you, Doc Love is always out and about, all right? Now, first off, let's start here. And I want to know what games you all will be covering on 92.1 FM, because I know it opens tomorrow on Thursday. Then there will be a slew of games on Friday as well. What do you have on the docket for your listeners?
Well, I mean, Al, how are you gone for the first week? I
Isn't
mean,
that
it's,
crazy?
It's, you can't do that, Al.
But, you know, I couldn't get out of my...
Because you get two nights. It's
right.
Not just Friday nights. It's Thursday and Friday this time.
You get a double whammy.
Yes.
And the thing is, I can't get out of groomsman duties,
well,
right? Because that's like a once-in-a-lifetime, hopefully, thing.
It's pretty,
you know what I mean?
That's a pretty important thing, yeah.
Right, it's pretty important. So I'm like, all right, I'll suck it up. I'll be back at it next year. But yeah, so what do you guys have on the docket?
We got two games this week, and actually, because of the lug nuts, they're kind of forcing us to our sister station. We're going to be on 94.1 the Duke FM.
Okay.
It's one of our sister stations there, but we got two games. We've got CAAC action. It's red versus blue tomorrow night. We're going to be in Mason. Bulldogs are hosting Okemos Chiefs. They've been playing each other for a long time, like back in the 60s. They've been matched off against each other, and they used to be in the same conference, the old Capital Circuit League, way back in the day. They're not conference rivals anymore, but they're still rivalries because those towns are right next to each other. Mason and Okemos, only a few miles apart between them. That's the first one tomorrow night. Going to be a good ball game as well. And then Friday, we're going to be in East Lansing, just down the street here. They're hosting St. John's Red Wings, third time in a row. that are facing off against each other to start the season off. So, and you and I have known a little bit about that one as well, St. John's East Saints, and we've seen it before.
Yeah, we broadcast that game last year, if yep. I'm correct. Now, I believe Ryan Schuling will be with you this week.
Yes.
So yep. He'll be doing both. Will he be the regular guy, you and him, every single week now?
Yeah, Ryan's the regular guy, and then if he's off, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler will step back in, who's doing lug nuts right now, obviously, but he'll step back in and fill in it when needed. So
fantastic stuff. Now, anything new or different this year when it comes to your guys' week-by-week coverage for high school football? Something something fresh that you guys haven't done in the past?
I mean, it's a lot of the same stuff. We're going to have what we started up last year, the Power Sweep. Is that program that has after us, after the game, we send it out to Jack and those guys, Jack Ebling, and they talk about, all the other games that are going on. They had coaches on in the show and stuff like that. They've got a little bit more of a pregame show set up beforehand mm-hmm. for the station, so I don't do as much of the pregame stuff. Usually we come on 15 minutes before kickoff. We talk a little bit about that. We might be integrated a little bit more into it, but they're going to have the other guys talking beforehand, trying to get people set up, what are all the games happening in the area tonight, who to look out for. This is our game coming up tonight, so it's kind of a setup for you, but for the most part, it's just out there loving some football and talking about it, man.
Now, as I mentioned, Doc, you're one of the hardest working men in the biz, and there's so many teams, there's so many conferences, trying to organize all that information. I mean, sometimes you must go crazy. I know when working with you and seeing how you work, Doc, I mean, we would broadcast a game, we would go back to the station, you would upload the entire game. I mean, it just it's nonstop for you. So first off, for you, when you embark on a new year, where in the world do you start in terms of your very own preparation?
I mean, a lot of it is social media stuff. I mean, you can go to Twitter and start off and try and I'll look through camps during summertime, and I'll look at recruiting and stuff like that. So I'll kind of keep up on that as well. Mm. And then as the season gets a little bit closer, you kind of dive right into talking to coaches and maybe talking to players, or obviously I interview every coach every week for every matchup, but
right.
When it starts off like that, and like they had the midnight practices, some of the schools have midnight practices August 8th, I was out there at midnight a couple places talking to coaches, looking at the atmosphere and stuff like that. I mean, you gotta be active on social media, you gotta have good network connections, talk mm-hmm. to people. You just got to be out there all the time. You're always going to be somewhere.
What's that notebook look like? How do you organize that? Oh, my goodness.
You don't know how many notebooks I go through. I mean,
really?
I've got so many. And you know what? I have kept every single – I'm kind of a pat rat. I have every single note from every single game I've ever broadcast.
No.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I still have – and I keep them because I go back to look at last year and see – who's coming back.
Right.
And so I looked at some of the ones for this week. I've already gone through Okemos and Mason and St. John's and East Lansing just to look and see who's coming back, what kind of schemes they had, what kind of questions can I ask the coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where I started. Dive right into the notes.
I'm telling you, man. So how far back do your notes go? To what year?
2012.
That's pretty good. That's very good, actually, Doc. My goodness. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Eric Doc Love, high school sports color commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. They will have a back-to-back slew of games starting tomorrow and, of course, on Friday that you are going to definitely want to check out if you can't get out to those matchups. Now, for you, Doc, when evaluating your preparation so far, what are some of the most intriguing storylines that you've come across?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about guys that are coming back from last year, number one, you got to think of Jared Smith at Pullman, Westphalia, the Pirates, the first guy in the state of Michigan in history to go over 3,000 yards rushing in a season. Nobody has ever done that. He broke the record for rushing yards and for rushing touchdowns as well. And you got to think about, they made it all the way to the championship game. You and I actually broadcast their game mm-hmm. against Ishpeming. They came up a little bit short, but I mean, him coming back is a huge one. Going to be his senior year, Pullman, Westphalia, going to be stacked again. Can they win the CMAC yet again? I mean, Mason G. Montgomery down in Stockbridge,
right.
The Bridge Boys, he broke the passing record for touchdowns last year. He's coming back, and he's got another really good receiver in Colby Canfield. Those two guys, probably the most prolific 1-2 quarterback receiver combo right now in high school. I mean, those are two of the top ones. And then you look at a guy that we're going to see tomorrow night for Mason, the Bulldog, Storm Miller, mm-hmm. a kid who had cancer earlier this year, had to get it removed, had some radiation therapy. I mean, and he's back playing football.
Wow.
He's healthy now. He's good. He's go. I saw him out there in practice this morning. I was out at Mason early this morning, and he was out there doing his linebacker stuff, doing his duties, and he's really the heart and soul of that team, and a team that, they're going to need him, and he was a big part for them last year, but a guy who had cancer, and he's back, and he's playing right now. That's big, man.
What a story. Did you get a chance to chat with him, Doc?
I did not get a chance to talk to Storm. I talked to his coach, Jerry Van Havel. We had him on our show, The Pep Rally. Mm-hmm. Last week, Jesse and I were talking to him, and it's a remarkable story. So it's great to see a kid get through something like that. You hate to see somebody go through it,
right?
But to get through it, it was tremendous.
Talk about inspirational. I'm sure that will be a rallying cry for this team as the season gets kicked off this week, of course. Now, what local conferences do you think, Doc, will be the most competitive when you evaluate how things stack up now?
I mean, there's the three CAAC games. You got the red, the blue, and the white.
Right.
I mean, if you're looking at the top contenders this season, some familiar names are going to pop up again. I mean, Grand Ledge going all the way to the semifinals last year in Division One. They lost a lot of guys. They lost a lot of seniors, but they got a lot of guys coming back, too. They have a lot of experience. I mean, if you're looking at the blue, you probably think Grand Ledge has the potential to repeat again for that one. But East Lansing's made some nice strides. Mm-hmm. They've gotten a lot better.
And you were just at East Lansing a minute ago.
That's where I was at before coming here. So you talk about guy all over the place.
Right, busy. Exactly, right? I'm telling you, he may go to Egypt after this show. Who knows?
Well, I don't think they play football there, but otherwise
right.
I might, yeah. But, I mean, East Lansing's been improved. Sexton lost so many close games last year after making it to semifinals and finals appearances the year before that. They have a chance to turn it around, even with their quarterback transferring, Michael Lynn III going to Lansing Catholic. That's a big thing right there.
That's true. Speaking of Lansing Catholic, have you gotten a chance to see that brand new field?
I've seen some pictures, and I've stood outside of it. They were still working on it.
Oh, were
I have
they?
Not been able
okay.
to go into the stadium yet, but it looks beautiful.
I've only seen pictures and video of it, and it looks absolutely remarkable and long overdue for Jim Ahern's squad.
Absolutely. So if you're talking blue, you're thinking Grand Ledge, maybe East Lansing, maybe Sexton can make a run. In the red, it's DeWitt again. The Panthers, they always find a way to reload. They always have guys in the system to bring up. I mean, can St. John's or Waverly get in there? Can Mason make another run at it in the red? When you look at the white, it's probably going to come back down to Lansing Catholic and Portland again. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Raiders, they lose some offensive linemen, some key guys on the defensive side, but they got a lot of good running backs coming back. That's what the Raiders do. They like to run the ball. And Lansing Catholic, even losing Tony Poljan and Tony Palmer, those terrific Tonys that they had, with Michael Lynn stepping in, they've got other guys as well. I think in the white, it probably comes down to them unless Williamson can step up, maybe Eaton Rapids. And CMAC, we talked a little about Plum Westphalia. They're going to be good again. Fowler is another good team. Dansville had a very solid year last year. They could maybe step up. Langsburg as well. They made a deep playoff run. Mm-hmm. And then GLAC, if you're talking the last of the area conferences, I mean, Stockbridge is up there. And with Mason G coming back, you got to give them the early nod for potentially winning that conference.
Now, you mentioned a few names, a few big names to look for to this upcoming year. What are some other players to watch? And I know you guys did last season on the Pep Rally. You guys gave away, like, your Player of the Year awards. And,
yeah, we have the All-Area awards.
The All-Area awards, which I thought was very, very cool. Who are some players to watch this upcoming year, including some of the ones you just named?
Well, I mean, Antonio Rush for Grand Ledge, a guy who was kind of stuck behind two to three really good running backs last year, is going to get his chance to really shine, along with Nolan Bird, their quarterback, who started as a sophomore last year. Those are two of the guys that are coming back for a team that lost a lot out there. I mean, Cody Blankenship for Sexton, who was a really good wide receiver, so quick. I saw he was going to some camps during the summertime with some other colleges in Michigan and outside of the area as well, who were looking at him and just got that speed out there. I mean, Michael Lynn, we talked about him at Lansing Catholic. Can he develop? Can he continue that quarterback legacy that they have in Lansing Catholic? The Cougars always seem to have guys, and they got two guys at Central right now.
How about that?
Cooper Rush and Tony Poljan.
I believe there's three local quarterbacks that are playing with CMU this upcoming year. How cool is that? Because you got Rush starting, of course, for the team this upcoming year. But that's an interesting dynamic out in Chippewa land, though. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
I mean, there's a lot of guys out there. I mentioned Storm Miller being a big thing for Mason stepping up in there. Kentre Patterson for East Lansing is a burner. A wide receiver that's got so much speed. He's got track speed out there. And a guy that, as long as you can throw it somewhere around him, he's going to pull it in for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's early, Al. A lot of other guys could step up, and guys that, maybe I don't even see yet. Maybe guys that
haven't
had a chance to cover yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe some juniors stepping up, but there's a lot of good talent, a lot of talent in Lansing area, Al.
Do you think that there are
maybe one or two surprise teams that could come out of nowhere and really flip somebody's wig that no one sees coming right now?
That nobody sees coming right now? I mean, if you're looking, Waverly has got some solid players. Mm-hmm. Jaden Sutton is such a good running back mm-hmm. for that team. He could potentially carry them into maybe pushing DeWitt towards to, you know, maybe knocking them down a little bit. That's maybe a team that could just come out of nowhere and really get you. I mean, I mentioned Dansville a little bit. They have some guys coming back. They could step up, but it's going to be tough to knock down P-Dub.
Oh,
but
it's so tough. They're good every single year,
they
right?
They always reload as well. I mean, other teams that could maybe just kind of come out of nowhere. Everett, I mean, Everett has potential mm-hmm. with the Vikings. They've got some guys coming back. They've got a good system over there for the Vikings. They could step up maybe in the blue and do something. St. John's, the Red Wings, they're in the red. They've lost a lot of guys, and they don't have a big squad this year, but they always find a way to run the ball, and that's what they do. So, I mean, if you want a couple of teams out there that could surprise you, those could be one of them.
And it's pretty remarkable what Mike Smith has been able to do at Dansville, right? I mean, coming in and completely changing the culture mm-hmm. there. It's one of my favorite storylines coming into the year, and it was one of my favorite storylines coming into last year as well. All right, Doc, before we get you out of here, my man, just brief thoughts on just the love that you have for Michigan football. What makes, and you know, you heard Isaac talk about it, you heard myself talk about it. I'm from Detroit. Isaac is from the NO, and it's just a different culture in Detroit when it comes to high school football. It does not get the attention I think it deserves.
No.
But here in Michigan, it is, you talk about a thing, it is a thing every single Friday night. What makes Michigan football so intriguing and so different from any other area?
You say that, and I still hear from people like there's not enough coverage out here. Like, people still are saying,
really?
Hey, we still need more coverage. Like,
wow.
That's how much it is. Like, it surprises me when you say that from New Orleans, they have nothing over there. And from Detroit, they've got powerhouses down there in Detroit area.
They do.
That are winning championships constantly, mm-hmm. and they don't get any coverage. It just boggles my mind that there just isn't enough out there. People, they like to go to the pro sports, obviously, in Detroit.
Exactly,
they
right.
want to talk about the Lions and the Tigers and the Red Wings and all that. But high school sports is where it starts, really. I mean, that's your ground level right there, and that's where you get your most enthusiasm from fans for the most part. That's where you get your real true love of the game. You get a lot from college, obviously. Mm. You go to University of Michigan State, obviously, this party, they've got a lot. Michigan down there in Ann Arbor, you get a lot of that love too. But for high school sports, Al, I don't know how to explain it.
They play it because they love the game.
They love the game.
You know,
some guys obviously will be able to play in college, maybe if they're lucky in the pros, but it's just the love of the game, the culture, the community, especially when you go to the smaller towns like Fowler, they play in Class D, though. It's tradition and community.
Right.
That's what it is. You hear that a lot from a lot of players around here in Michigan, that it's a lot of the tradition, a lot of the community, and just the pure love for the game. That's what I have, the love for the game.
It is nothing like it, folks. Again, high school football here in mid-Michigan begins tomorrow. Doc, again, let people know what games you guys are covering and broadcasting on Thursday and Friday, and how can they follow your work, my man?
Well, tomorrow night we're going to be in Mason. Bulldogs are hosting the Okemos Chiefs. That's a rivalry game. They'll be on our sister station, 94.1 Duke FM. And then Friday we have got another red versus blue. It's St. John's Red Wings at East Lansing Trojans, and both of those games, 94.1 Duke FM, will be there as well next week when we see DeWitt versus Grand Ledge. They have never faced each other in football, Al.
Are you kidding me? Hold on, DeWitt?
The Panthers
and
the
Ledge.
Comets
That's
have
crazy.
Never faced each other in football.
Wow.
They
what?
Play
I
in basketball.
Know that.
They've never been on the gridiron.
You learn something new every day.
So
riddle me that.
Okay. I've got to say, too,
whoa.
I've just got to throw a compliment your way, Doc. It's Al and I always do the show with our laptops up with notes, and we're covering sports with plenty of information.
Right?
There's a dearth of information available for high school football, and you're sitting there, hands folded, no notes whatsoever. It's all off the top.
It's right out of the head,
thinking,
man.
Isaac, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, I don't know how Ty remembers all of this stuff just off the top of the dome. He could do a broadcast
there's
right
more
now.
Stuff. I'm just, we don't have that much time.
I'm
so
telling
I can't,
you. If I could take a trip through Doc's brain right now, I would get lost. Okay?
Mind palace.
There's right. a lot of stuff going on up there, Al.
I'm telling you, man.
And it's not just football, so.
Exactly, right? I mean, he's a jack of all trades, folks. All right, well, again, the one, the only, Mr. Eric Doc Love, high school sports color commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Doc, Always a pleasure, my man.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on the show, Al. We got to have you on the pep rally again, too.
Hey, I would love to come on. Anytime you guys want me on, I'm yours. All
every,
right?
Every Saturday, 9 a.m., the Team 92.1 FM. Me and Jesse Goldberg Strassler talking high school sports, handing out our hashtag, he had a good week, for all the good players out there every week.
And I love that hashtag. He had a good week. I love it. All right,
Thank
Doc.
You.
Well, we'll be tuning in each and every Saturday, and good luck on a new season, my man, all right?
Appreciate it, man.
I'll see you when I get back from the DR. All right, let's hit our second break. We've got 5 minutes left. We'll put a quick bow on the show in just a second. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished chatting with Eric Doc Love, high school sports color commentator for the Team 92.1. Again, the high school football year gets underway starting tomorrow. That's right, Thursday, and then just an entire slate of games on Friday. Isaac, you know what games you're going to this week?
So I'll actually be out myself, Al, as just like you for this upcoming week. So
right,
no games for me either. I'm upset about it because just like you, I always anticipate, or I guess for the last 2 years at least, the start of the high school football season, and now I'm absent for the first week.
Well, rev up, man, because I know you're going into your, man, you're making me feel old, junior year now?
Junior year.
Whoa, mama. So
makes me feel old.
Exactly. And I saw a recent Instagram post that you posted concerning, you know, the dynamic of being miles and miles away from home, you being born and raised in New Orleans and being here in Michigan. I mean, it's rare when you get a chance to go back home and see your family, especially before the start of the school year. So enjoy that time. Soak it up. Rev up. Because when we get back, we are both going to be thrown into the fire. I tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. To close it out, folks, and before we bid you all adieu, brief talk on the Detroit Tigers. Cameron Maben. We're with this Detroit Tigers team. Be without Cameron Maben. The Tigers topped the Minnesota Twins yesterday 8-3 at Target Field. Maben has 5 RBIs over his last 2 games and 6 over his last 4. The Tigers, though, are still on the outside looking in when it comes to a wild card berth. They are three games outside of a WC berth. What do you think of the Tigers so far, Isaac? Real briefly here, as we got a minute left. A much needed win and possibly the opportunity to get back on track, but I still think they're swimming upstream, if you ask me.
They are. You know, you see more and more fluctuation as the season goes along between either winning streaks and losing streaks for the Tigers. They just need to hold on, but they need to hit that final groove as the season goes along. You could say that about anybody, but for this team, especially with how mercurial they've been, it's especially important that they find their groove later on.
Definitely. And another update, if you guys didn't hear it at the very beginning of the show, defensive tackle Cassius Pete for Michigan State football was given his scholarship release to transfer. He has reportedly enrolled at Eastern Arizona. Well, that will do it for today's show. Much thanks to all of you out there for tuning in and listening to this edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll have best of specials on Thursday and Friday's show, as well as Monday's show. And then Isaac will be filling in for me on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I will be back in the saddle on Friday, the start of the Michigan State college football year. Until then, have a fantastic rest of your week. And as always, be easy, people.